Kickoff with Steve Hothersall.
Rock, sport and talk.
Radio City Talk.
Right, 10:45 on your Wednesday. Let's do the guide. Liverpool. No Jay Hind today. He's suffering with a bug. Never mind. Kate's here to take his place. Morning to you, Kate.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
We don't need the boss.
Oh,
when there's quality like you about.
I can be sending some get well soon wishes, though.
Step into his shoes. Right. Okay. Show him up. Show him how it should be done. Theguideliverpool.co.uk. You can have a look online just to see everything that's happening over the course of the next 7 days. Some brilliant video content on there. Right, we've got to pick up first of all with the Terracotta Warriors.
Yeah, definitely. I was so lucky yesterday. I was able to get a sneak peek as part of the press day over at World Museum. And I think that even though we've been talking about this for about a year now since we found out that the exhibition was coming to Liverpool, nothing prepared me for what I actually saw when I went in there yesterday. It is utterly incredible. So if you don't know anything about it, China's First Emperor and the Terracotta Warriors exhibition has come to Liverpool. It opens on Friday, the 9th of February, and it's here until the 28th of October. So there's plenty of time to be able to go over there and take it all in. The 10 warrior figures that we've got are so impressive. The fact that they've travelled 5,000 miles from China to the heart of Liverpool, and they're pristine. And given that they've been underground for 2,500 years,
they were found in 1974 or something like that.
74, and they were found by accident as well. Right. So villagers were attempting to dig a well and have so far uncovered 8,000 figures.
Is that right?
It's absolutely
colossal.
Where's
the rest of them?
That will involve a trip to China, which I'll hold my hands up. I'm more than happy to go. It is truly fascinating, the story. So it's not just warriors that have been uncovered. There are acrobats and musicians, concubines. There's loads of wildfowl, ducks and things as well. So it's truly special. So to actually see it in the city now, and the way that the exhibition has been kind of laid out is completely different to what we're used to seeing over at our World Museum as well. It's a truly, truly epic exhibition. You've got to go and see it.
So they're well preserved.
Yeah, I mean they're pristine. Some of the there's 180 artifacts to see, so it's not just the warriors, although they're incredibly impressive. They are tiny, and they'll be like golden belt buckles and things, but they look as if they've just come out of a jeweler's window. It really is incredible. So I'm really pleased to see that there's a big educational program put together as well for our city school children, who are invited over the coming months as well to go and learn more. And also the team at World Museum there have been working with two local companies, which is great as well, so that we're able to add something to this ancient story.
Can you imagine being the person who transports them?
I know.
Don't drop it.
Oh, we've seen.
Don't bag it.
We've seen some of the behind the
bubble
scenes.
Bubble wrap extreme. I think loads of tickets have been sold for this already, haven't they?
Yeah.
Pre-sold.
Yeah, I believe so.
So you can still get in.
Yes. Oh, yeah, very much. So like we say, the exhibition runs until October, so there's plenty of time, especially through the likes of the summer holidays, when people have got a bit more time to kind of mill around. But they're expecting in excess of 450,000 visitors, so it's a great thing for the city.
Right, who have you been having a chat with about this?
Yesterday I managed to speak to the director of the exhibition, Fiona Philpott.
Well, we started off at the end of 2015 when we were actually approached by some of our Chinese colleagues and asked whether we would be interested in staging an exhibition. And since then, we've had about 6 or 7 trips out to China. Since then, it's been full throttle, really, and we've spent hours and hours and hours discussing what stories we should tell, which exhibits we should exhibit. So a huge amount of work goes into creating something like this.
Like it. Part of a very special programme of events for 2018 as well.
Yeah.
Right, we're not too far off Valentine's Day. All romantics out there are thinking, what should we do? How do we celebrate
apart
it?
Apart from me.
I'm sure you've got your own plans.
There is so much on, Steve. And over on The Guide at the moment, we've not long published the Love Bible, the Liverpool Love Bible, your guide to everything Valentine's Day across the city. So whether you're out, if you're dining out, if you're looking for a special gift, if you're a singly looking to go out and have a great night out with the girls or with the guys, we've got you covered there. So in terms of dining, there is so much choice, so
you've done a guide for singletons.
I have to write for people like me. It's important. It's not just about those in love, but from a dining point of view, there's so much choice out there. You don't have to spend an absolute fortune, but obviously if you're out to impress, there's plenty of options too. So we're bigging up Frederick's up on Hope Street, who are offering a 3-course plus a bottle of Prosecco for 2 for £55, which I think is a great deal. Heart of the Georgian Quarter as well. Nice little stroll around by the cathedral afterwards, maybe.
That's a good price.
Also, in terms of settings, I think Liverpool's really special in that, you know, you can dine out with some stunning views out of the windows and that type of thing. So I can't not mention the old stables up at Allerton Manor. So just the drive up the driveway there always impresses, never mind the beautiful food that they have on offer as well. So they've got a great deal there. And Jay's current favourite place at the minute, he's been waxing lyrical about it, is Wreckfish Bistro over on Slater Street. So fine dining, but in a more relaxed kind of way. And he loved everything on the menu. And they're also laying on a Valentine's feast as well. So something to mention as well, with Valentine's Day rather landing on a Wednesday this year, loads of places are having their offers on from Saturday this weekend coming, right the way through. So, you know, if you don't want to go out on a Wednesday night, if you've got ironing to do or homework.
Well, I was going to ask you about this. Do you really think Valentine's Day, do you have to celebrate your Valentine's Day on Valentine's Day?
I don't think so. And I think loads of people use it as a bit of a cop-out as well, to be fair. Every day should be Valentine's Day.
But it's not, is it? Saturday's fine, isn't it?
I think so. More likely to get a babysitter, aren't you? Let's face it.
All right. What about Ghoulies Valentine?
Oh, right. I can't wait to tell you about this. In terms of singletons, if you're looking for love, how do you fancy finding your dream man or woman in Liverpool's dedicated year-round scare attraction? Apparently, it has been scientifically proven that fear brings us closer together. And right. Ghoulies Haunted House on Dale Street have set up a specific kind of like Valentine's scene. So they change it up regularly through the year to keep it fresh. But you can expect kind of like, you know, classic werewolves and vampires and things from Valentine's Day throughout February. On Valentine's Day itself, they're holding a speed dating event.
With
werewolves and vampires. So essentially, you turn up, you get a drink on arrival, you get paired up by a vampire, and then you're essentially thrown into a nightmare situation until you make it back to the bar where they serve up shots of courage.
Sounds like a proper first date, this, a nightmare situation.
I've not been brave enough to go down there yet, but Jay did manage to speak to John to find out more.
As far as I'm aware, it's never been done a singles night where you get to do speed dating and then get bundled together with whoever you've chosen to pair up with, and you're thrown into a terrible experience where it's created to make sure you get nice and close to each other.
Okay.
And cling on to each other, screaming for your life.
Well, at least it takes your mind off things, doesn't it? I've never been to Ghoulies. Is it a bar?
I've not been brave enough to go down yet, but the guys have been from the guy there have been down a few times and they just absolutely love it. So
right.
It is a dedicated scare attraction. It's open all year round. It's got a great bar in there as well. And as I say, they switch it up routinely during the year. So it's not just what you see at Halloween, which is ordinarily when we go. It's just a great alternative to kind of like a normal night out. And there's kind of two levels of how scared you want to be.
Right.
In that one is quite intense and not for me personally. The other is a little bit more tame, and that maybe, you know, kind of slightly younger people might give
so
it
I'll
a
put
go.
You, I'll put you in for that one, the young
but
one.
I think they're expecting me on Valentine's Day, to tell you the truth, which I'm slightly worried about.
Right, for all lovers of fine music, Sammy Davis and his mates are all back at the Empire.
Oh, absolutely can't wait for this. So Las Vegas comes to town from the 13th to the 17th of February over at the Liverpool Empire. So the Rat Pack live from Las Vegas. The names that we all know and most of us love in terms of Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin, Sammy Davis Jr. But the added extra, the special guest is Ella Fitzgerald this time as well. So it brings a new dimension to the show. Absolutely can't wait to see it. So the famous Sand Hotel from Las Vegas lands in Liverpool next week. Also coincides with Valentine's as well. Could be quite a nice Valentine's night out.
It's probably better than Ghoulian to me.
Well, I guess, yeah. I think that's
maybe it's an age thing. I don't know. Seat.
Maybe that's
bit of nice music in the background. That's the wrap. How long's the Rat Pack on at the Empire for?
Until the 17th, and the tickets are really reasonably priced as well. So it's a nice night out, that.
All right. Venue of the week this week with the guy in Liverpool. Who are we having?
We're having Lock and Key Bar, Kitchen and Hotel on Duke Street. Absolutely stunning venue there. So bottom end of Duke Street. Fabulous menu from breakfast right through to dinner. But on Friday evening, they have a port tasting event, which I'm really excited about because I'm kind of over the Prosecco and gin thing that we've had. I think there's something a bit more refined about port. I think you kind of need to know what you're talking about, whereas Prosecco is just Prosecco.
It's not a Christmas drink, port.
Do you think so?
I don't know. Well,
I don't know. Growing up, I think we always just had it in. Whether anybody drank it or not, I'm not entirely sure, but that's probably because we didn't know enough about it. Friday night, get yourselves down to Lock and Key on Duke Street, where you can find out absolutely everything you needed to know about port. So specialist Marco will be in from Martin's de Sá. So it's essentially Portuguese fortified wine. I never knew that. Just learned that in the last few days.
Didn't know it was fortified wine.
I didn't know that. I just thought port again was something that maybe that my mum and dad would drink. But I'm intrigued, and more so because there's a really lovely food pairing that comes with it on the night as well. And the food at Lock and Key is just spot on.
What job you've got, you and Jay. You still doing dry January like Jay?
I've managed 21 days of dry January.
And he didn't, did he?
Which I hear on the grapevine is a little bit more than Jay.
top stuff. Thank you very much indeed,
Thanks
Kate. You're absolutely superb. Filling in more than admirably for Jay Hine. That's The Guide Liverpool. Everything you need to know about what's going on in the city. It's theguideliverpool.com.
Rock, sport, and talk for Liverpool.
Radio City Talk.